Rashbi, the full story really begins on the top of the page. And you can't really ignore this part of the Gemara, but we are anyway. Okay, the top of the Gemara, it talks about Lashon Hara. It talks about Sheker, the Koyach HaDibur. A person speaks Lashon Hara, the person says Sheker, and it is a cause of a disease called Askira. And the Gemara has a discussion of Askira, Divrei Agada. That's really a chelik of the story of Rashbi. But for right now, because time is limited, we're not going to do that part of the Gemara. All we have to know is that the Gemara on the very, very top has a question. Why is it that with regard to Askira, there's a throat disease? There's a throat disease.
Diphtheria.
What's it called?
Diphtheria.
Can't hear you.
Diphtheria?
Yeah. Diphtheria, there's a certain type of disease. Diphtheria, there's a certain type of disease, and the Gemara wants to know why is it, Ibnei Ma, if you want to see in the Gemara, it's three lines before it gets wide. On this Gemara, it says, Mipnei Ma, Maka Zo, Mipnei Ma, Mascheles, Mipnei Me Ayim. Why does it start in the area of the stomach and go all the way up to the mouth? Okay, this is a very important information, but that's not what we're going to discuss now. And there, all we need to know now is Nene Rebbe Yehuda b'Rebbe Eloi. And here the Gemara gives him a title. He was called Roish HaMedabrim B'chol Mokoyim. Okay, he had a title. The title he was given was the Roish HaMedarbim. Some want to say that, some confuse that he was the same Rabbi Yehuda like in the Haggadah. Rabbi Yehuda Yomer, Hayin Noisin Mohem Simonim. That it can't be, right? Not right. So some make a joke and they say that he's the same person of Rabbi Yehuda in the Haggadah, that Sachadash Biachav. And the reason why he's called Roish HaMedarbim was because he was short. Instead of going through all the makos and saying dam, tzfardeya, kinim, oroif, so he was mekatzer. Everyone loves a short speaker. Tatzach, adash, achav. So he was called Roshan. That's the joke. It's totally not true because it's not the same Rabbi Yehuda.
He was international speaker.
But any event, the point of the question over here is why was he called the Roish? He was called, he gave an answer, and the Gemara gives us that he had an official title. The title was given to him not by the Jews. It was given to him by the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire, they said that anytime there's a public event and it is necessary for a Jew to speak, there are many Jews, so even if there are goyim appears, he speaks first. He is the opening speaker. He is called the Roish HaMedabrim B'chol Mokoyim. Any official event, it is our authority. That was the way. We don't really appreciate society. It was obviously there are things that we do not know. We do not understand. We do not appreciate that if there were people that had a position from the government, Dina de Malchus Dina, when an event takes place, they are called the Rosh HaMedabrim. And who had this title? Who had this official authority from the Roman government? Who was had authority at this time that we are discussing? Now, where did this even take place? It took place in Beitar. Where did this take place? This whole story. I'm not exactly even sure. Meiron in Eretz Yisrael, not in Beitar. It was after the Chorban. This clearly took place after the Chorban, but it was in Eretz Yisrael. This event took place somewhere in Eretz Yisrael. And I'm not sure. We'll see. I'm not sure. And he had, the Jews at this point in time were under the authority of the Romans. It appears that the Churban already had happened, and there were still Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim was destroyed, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, but there were still areas where Jews were still living under the authority of the Roman government, and they gave him this official title called the Roish HaMedabrim.
Over 100 years before Rabbi Danosik, preceded him by a lot.
Okay. So this is he was called the Roisham. So now we're going to jump all the way down and we're going to start the story and discuss a few things of why was he called the Roisham. If you go into the Gemara, it's a little bit less than halfway down. It's the last word on the line. If you look at the side of the Gemara, the extreme left of the Gemara, and you see where it says a new sect of Psukim, Torah, or Hashalem, on the all the way on the extreme left of the Gemara, on the other page, we have Suk v'Hamelech Yismach v'Elokim. If you go right opposite that word, Torah or Hashalem, is the word Va'amai. It's the last word on the it's a little bit less than halfway, down. The Amai correlator Shamadam, this is where we're going to start again. This is not really the beginning. There's much more about Lag BaOmer that really needs to be addressed at the beginning, but in the top half of this page. But for now, we're going to skip it. The Amai correlator Shamadabrim B'chol Mokim. Why was Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yiloi? Where did he get this official title as being the Rosh Hamadabrim? The answer is here's where the story starts. B'chol Mokim, the Yasei, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon. The story involves three people. Three people are critical to understand the story of Lag BaOmer. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon refers to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. They were sitting, V'yosef Yehuda ben Gerim Beinayu. And there was a fourth person. Can't leave him out. It's a different Rabbi Yehuda. He doesn't say Rebbe. He does not call him Rebbe. He just calls him the name of Yehuda ben Gerim. What does it mean, Ben Gerim? Does this mean that he was a Ger Tzedek? Some say yes, some say not. It's not so simple. If when it says Gerim, it means that he was a convert. What is it over here? Is there a
convert? Yes.
It's not so simple.
Rashi says Ben Ger Begiris.
Okay, let me find the Rashi. Where's the Rashi? Here it is. Okay, it's about a third down. Right before the Torah HaShalom, Ben Ger the Gierkes, Rashi. So Rashi says, very good, he was the son of a Ger and a Gieres. Now, that if I'm not mistaken, that it could be, after looking at other Rishonim, not everyone agrees with this, but let's look for right now, let's assume it to be correct. To be Rashi is Rashi. Rashi is the Iker Perish. Okay, I just remember vaguely seeing something. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay, but Rashi is the Iker. Rashi says here, Ben Gerim means he was a son of a convert. So that means Ben Gerim, both his parents. Does that play a factor in the story? Maybe. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Because he did something very horrible, we'll see. He was Ben Gerim, Gabayu, Pasach, Rabbi Yehuda, V'Omar. Rabbi Yehuda, not Yehuda Ben Gerim. The Halakha Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yiloi. He went and he was the Rosh Hamidabrim. Now, he was at this moment in time not yet the Rosh Hamidabrim. They were having a discussion, seemingly in the base Medrash. Kama noam ma'aseyin shel uma zo. How beautiful are the deeds of this nation. What's the beauty? Tiknu shivakim. They establish markets. There's an economy. Tiknu gisharim. There are bridges. Tiknu merchatzois. There are bathhouses. Three beautiful things that they have done for society. The economy, transportation, and hygiene. Okay, that's it's a very thorough...
Public works.
What?
Public works.
Public works. These are all three are public works. Yeah. But public works, he's dividing in itself. This in and of itself is a very fascinating description of a platform. Okay, if you want to become a politician, Rabbi Yisai, so your platform has to involve three things. You have to deal with the economy, you have to deal with transportation, and you have to deal with hygiene. Public health, exactly. Public health. These are three things that are critical for the health of a country. Okay, if you want to go, you want to wax poetic, you can say there is the shvakim is the economy, the gesharim is foreign policy, and the merchatzos is domestic policy. The gesher is the bridge to nowhere. The bridge across the Atlantic, across the Pacific. You want to go and build bridges. Right? Who used to say that? One of the politicians always used to say that, to build bridges. Okay, and he used that in reference to foreign policy. He actually used that expression as a politician, one of the presidents. No? Does anyone remember? To build bridges. Not talking about in Alaska. I'm not talking about...
build bridges, not walls, that kind of...
Alliances.
Okay, so that is the code word for foreign policy. Merchatzos, to be clean, it means you keep yourself clean. Domestic policy. And the first expression is the economy. That's the most important. No, no, look what went first, Rabbi Yossi. The first thing is the economy. It's the economy, stupid, right? The economy is the economy. Three things. Or you want to just say very simply, you want to say bridge means transportation. People don't let people locked up. People have to be able to be mobile. Okay, gasoline. That's what they always say. I once heard a Rush Limbaugh. I was one of the really very, very powerful. He had a guy on there, and he basically said the most important thing in the country is the price of gasoline. If the price of gasoline is too high, the whole country, the whole economy will come to an end. The government must make sure, no matter what, to allow people to travel. Cost of transportation, people need to be mobile. And he argued, he showed how the economy depends upon this. When they raise the fear on the subway, not so push it. When you prevent people from being able to move around by making the cost of transportation too high, there's a very, very serious impediment in everything that happens in the economy of the country, even just by a few cents. Don't realize a few cents raise in the cost of gasoline, or to raise the token, the fare on the public transportation, and just to drop too high, it changes everything. And here, it's really alluded to in the Gemara. The Gesharim, the bridges, the ability to be mobile. Every word of Gemara is full of secrets, full of sodas.
Why can't it just mean what it says? Why are we building so many different things?
Because that's not the Gemara. The Gemara, it's too simplistic. That's not the way we learn. We're not trained just to read the words of the Gemara. Then we wouldn't be here today. The purpose is this depth. There is great depth in every word of the Gemara. I'm sorry. There's a lot of depth. He's making a Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yehloi. Now, because there are problems. What's the obvious problem? There's a halachic issue with what Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yehloi did. There's an Isser D'Oraisa in the Torah called Lo Sichonim. You're not allowed to say something nice about a non-Jew. You're not allowed to do that. It's an Isser D'Oraisa. Lo Sitein Lohem Chaniyah. Chaniyah. There are many interpretations. You're not allowed to praise a guy. There's a whole issue. You're allowed to go say a baseball player, Yogi Berra. Wow, you go say he's unbelievable. Are you allowed to say that? Are you allowed to go say about all these basketball players today? It's not so simple. So what in the world is he doing here? What in the world is he doing over here by giving praise to the Umay? So you want to go say the little beautiful bridge? If the more abstract you understand his words, the less of a problem it is halachically. The Issur Lo Sichonim means primarily to talk about an individual and say this is a great guy. When you talk about something that is broader, the Mefarshim say you take away that's not part of Lo Sichonim. You want to talk about Hashem made a world, Hashem made a beautiful world. You want to say that the goyim, they have accomplished great things. That's part of Hashem's creation. It's not, it's mankind. Mankind is, look what mankind can do. So when you want to go take these things, you want to turn them to abstractions, you lighten the issue of Lo Sichonim. Let's go further. Now, Rabbi Yossi Shosak, who asked him to say this? That's a very big mystery. Why did he feel the need to get up in the middle of the Beis Medrash, in the middle of Seder, to give a clap on the bima and say, Rabbi Yossi, I want to let everyone to know, Kame noyim aseim shal umay soila. What was the purpose? In the middle of learning a Daf Gemara, why? There's more to the story. Obviously, they were under pressure. The government, you know, when they had the war, the politicians, they actually came and asked all of the yeshivas, do us a favor, put a flag, an American flag on top of the building. A lot of the institutions that had flags on the buildings did not do it voluntarily. They were asked by politicians, we need you, the yeshivas, to show your loyalty. Do us a favor, put the flag on top of your building. There was pressure. The Romans wanted the yeshivas to issue a statement, Kame Nohe Maaseyam. There was public pressure.
Why would they put a flag on top?
What's
the problem with putting it?
There is no problem. But they just not everyone was interested in doing it. I have better things to do with my time than to go buy a flag and put a flag. The politicians wanted, there was a demand. There was pressure. The Pashto Sissi, where Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yehoi would not, in the middle of just sitting in Beis Medrash, have nothing better to do and to get up and to say, oh, how beautiful are the Goyim. And even if he did so, how in the world would the Goyim know about this? Yehuda ben Gerim, he has to go tell everyone, just for fun, why are the Goyim even interested in knowing about this? Obviously, it appears, there was much, much more to the story. There was some type of situation. And the government, the Roman governments were under a lot of pressure. Maybe they had enemies. Or maybe they want to consolidate their power. And they're looking for public support. And they want every institution to write a letter. Look at the FJJ, 10th year anniversary. Every guy has to, every one of the people, well, they all did it voluntarily. Yeah, look at the FJJ, the 10th year anniversary. Every year, not only the 10th year. Every, I have no doubt in my mind, every single person, every writer, every contributor was sent an email and said, do us a favor, it's now our 10th year anniversary, please write for us some words of support in order that we should be successful in selling free newspapers. Please, they need it. They need it for support. They need it promotional marketing. The Roman government needed some good marketing. They asked all of the institutions to say over words of praise. So here was a big dispute in the yeshiva. Should we acquiesce? Should we say words of praise for the government? Is this halachically forbidden? If it's not halachically forbidden, hashkafically, does it send a bad message to our Talmidim? That you know what? You should pursue a career in politics. What is the hashkafa? What is the halacha regarding our relationship? This is mamish fundamentals. You're dealing over here with mamish, the fundamentals of Golis. Lag BaOmer, all Lag BaOmer comes down to this. Tonight is Lag BaOmer. It all starts with this story here. We celebrate Rashbi. Everyone's having a bonfire tonight. It's all about Rashbi. Who is Rashbi? Rashbi over here is, we're dealing over here with a question that touches upon the lifeblood of Klal Yisrael in the last 2,000 years. We are in Golis in the last 2,000 years. How do we relate to the Goyim? We're living in America. We're living here in a Medina that's not ours. What is our relationship with the local authority? And the local, it's not just Stam, we're sitting in the room, we want to know. They want to know. They demand of us, what do you believe? What is your relationship? Are you just free riders? We have a country. Are you going to contribute? You just want to take from us. You don't want to contribute to the good and welfare of this country? What's your relation? This is a very complicated thing. How far do we go in giving back to this country? Do we go back and giving this country by telling people they should go work for the country? They should pursue degrees, become doctors and lawyers and increase the economy and devote your talent? Or do we tell people, just sit in Koilo and hide yourselves and take stipends and take benefits? And just take, and don't give back to the mother country that's providing you this opportunity. They want to know. Forget about us dealing with it. They want to know. Here, there's public pressure. We want over here, you, the Beis Medrash, to issue a statement of support for the government. And we have over here a fundamental disagreement between three of the holiest people, how a Jew relates to his environment in Golis. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yehoi said, full force, you should endorse the government. Give it your greatest endorsement. Kame nohe ma'aseihem. A Jew is a guest in a foreign country. The Jews were under the authority of the Romans at this point in time in Eretz Yisrael. During the Churban, you have to go and pledge your allegiance to the flag of the United States. Every class has to start. I was an MTJ of Moshe Feinstein Yeshiva. Okay, every single day we pledge the allegiance. I remember every of Moshe Feinstein's yeshiva. Every single day we pledge the allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and the whole nusach. We did it every time we went to the auditorium. We didn't sing Atikva. There was no Atikva, but they sang the Star Spangled Banner. Every single time that we sang the Star Spangled Banner, there was no Atikva. So why? What's the pshat? It is hisnagdus kneged the hatikva, and we didn't sing hatikva. So how come? And it was a very modern solution. My teacher when I went, it was a more modern school. So how is Rav Moshe? Obviously, whoever was in charge there decided there's no. Of course. And if obviously there was a decision made, I don't know the whole channel, you know, the whole hierarchy at the time. I was a little kid then, but obviously I'm looking back now, and we never sang Atikva. So if the same as today, no one today, there's no yeshiva today that sings the Star Spangled Banner. I don't believe, and at least in this neighborhood, I can't imagine. So why don't they sing Atikva? Okay, I know why they don't sing Atikva. But why don't they sing the Star Spangled Banner? I don't know. In MTJ, we didn't sing Atikva, we sang a Star Spangled Banner. So what's going on? Obviously, there's something going on. Someone is making a decision. There's a question of how you relate to your environment. That's the question. And this question is critical for our existence because of 2,000 years of Gulf that we have been in. And here we have three of the greatest minds, the holiest people, and this is all about Lag BaOmer. And he went full force, focused on three different dimensions. Now you can be medayik, why only these three? Maybe if you want to go give a long laundry list of different things that the government does for you, how come he only gave three? The thing is also what he did not say. Kam and Noyem Asem, the bridges, the bathhouses, and the shvakim. If you really want to make a long list, maybe study Shas. Maybe you can find there are more things that the government does for you and he did not mention. Oh, excellent question. Okay, that's what we're trying to bring out. There are too many issues here.
Well, that's what the Marsha said. He did it
out of fear.
Right.
But he still did it.
Yeah,
okay,
did,
right.
Did,
I just want to bring out the issues. I just want to bring out the issues.
You're
so notice over here all the different things that people are suggesting. You can say this was the full scope of praise. Or you can say, no, he only succumbed to fear. And Michal said, he was very clever. It was faint praise. Faint, you can kill a person with faint praise. Maybe these three things, all they do? That's all they do? They do a lot more than just these three things. Adarabba, he was trying to make latsonis of the government with faint praise. Is that the message? I don't know. These are all things that have to be understood and discussed. We don't have the issues. Rabbi Yossi Shosak. Rabbi Yossi's approach when it comes to living in Galus, I'm trying to expand the scope. Here we are. We're Americans. We're living in America. We're all citizens. Everyone is chalashing. You should be a citizen of the country. It's a tremendous bracha to be a citizen. And now they want you to say something nice. New, send in a letter. Write a nice letter to the President of the United States showing your appreciation. No letters. I'm not a letter writer. I'm not from that camp. I don't write letters. Shosak. Nene Rashbi. Rashbi really took an extreme position. It's like Kanoi. A kanoi, he took an extreme position for the government. You know what he said? The Omar kol ma shetiknu loytiknu el letzorich atzman. They're selfish people. You think the government, they're here to serve you. They're here to serve themselves. You're just an instrument for them. You're just a pawn for them. Tiknu shivokim. You say to praise them for the shvakim, the market. The whole economy is built on gili arayos. So what's it all about? That's all. It's all in order to pleasure, whatever this means. Okay, you have to analyze what this means exactly. Also, but I don't want to dwell on that la'adein bohen atzman. They should enjoy a bathhouse, a spa, spritz, whatever these things are called, a schwitz. It's all adain for themselves. Gisharim litol mehen meches. You build a bridge. Why? To collect tolls. It's amazing. Today they don't do that. Today they sell. They privatize all the tolls, all the bridges, and all the place where there are tolls. It's now being privatized. It's also like a meches, right? That way you just pay one flat fee. You can buy if you want. You can talk it now. Buy the Brooklyn Bridge. It's not a joke anymore. Start a joke because soon, they're going to try. There's going to be a toll on the Brooklyn Bridge. They've been trying already for years. And soon you're going to see, soon enough, they're going to win. Some politician's going to get his way. And they're going to put a toll on the Brooklyn Bridge. And then what's going to happen is they're going to say it's not efficient. The city doesn't know how to chew gum and walk at the same time. So therefore, we have to privatize the bridge. the Brooklyn Bridge is for sale. So the big joke that I could buy the Brooklyn Bridge for $5, I guarantee you the day is going to come when indeed the Brooklyn Bridge will be for sale. It's going to happen in two steps. First, the tolls. The realization the city can't do anything on their own. They need to privatize it. They privatize it, they're going to sell it. And that's how it's going to be sold.
The highways in Israel, someone did, and he's 25 years. He's going to income after 25, he's going to the government.
What's going to the government? I don't understand. All the highways?
The benefit.
The benefit?
After 25 years, he's going to transfer to the government.
Little mehem meches. Okay, so this was the big debate, the fundamental debate of how you relate to the government. Rashi took an extreme approach. Rashi was a kanoi. He was a kanoi, mamash, and that's how you have to understand this. And holach Yehuda ben Gerim. Yehuda ben Gerim, he went. V'siper devreim, and he told over the story, the devreim, the three opinions. L'malchus to the Malchus. Amru, here's the response. The Malchus, when they got it, they heard the three different opinions, they made the following statement. Amru, they said, Yehuda she'ila yis'ala. Yehuda, that said high praise about the government, they support us, he should be elevated. He is going to be elevated to the position of Roish HaMedabrim B'chol Mokoyim. He's going to be the one, that's how he got this title. What? Yehuda ben Gerim. So was he a Moiser? You're asking, was he a Moiser? Good, good question. Hopefully we'll finish the Gemara soon. We'll finish tomorrow. We're going to come back to that. Because he survived all this time. Nothing happened to him. And when Rashbu saw him, he finished him off.
Oh, yeah?
That's what it says at the end of the Gemara. Let's see. Let's see the Gemara, the exact words. You listen, just try around. Yehuda yisala yois isheshosak yigle litzipari. And today you would say he's sent to Siberia. Okay, they send him away. He was quiet. They were not happy that he was quiet. We're not going to kill you, but we're going to exile you. Shimon, which is Rashbi, Shimon, Shim Bayechoi, Shegina, he, Yehoreg, he will be executed. And notice one thing I want to point out over here is that the government had no respect for anyone. These are the three greatest people. If this is a cardinal, if this was a priest, they would have respect. Okay, Rav Meir told me recently, he says that Menashe Klein, this goes back in the day. Today is a different world today, but they called him for jury duty?
Grand jury.
So he came, he put on his big day Shabbos, the full 9 yards, with the strimel, and the gans, the silk apata. What? The real big, he probably rented a real fancy hat. And he put on the white socks, the full 9 yards, and he goes to the grand jury. And he's sitting there, dressed up like Mamash or Melech. And they say to him, and they come to him, and he asks him a question, and he says, tell me, if the cardinal, would you call the cardinal of New York City for jury duty? Would you call the bishop? Would you call? You wouldn't even have the chutzpah to go call the Cardinal O'Connor. Would you call him for jury duty? You know who I am. I'm the chief rabbi, whatever he said. I'm the chief rabbi of New York City. What kind of chutzpah? You go and you call me for jury duty. And they said, you're right, go home. You're right. Dismissed. Okay, today is a different world. But you understand, in a time, there are times when the goyim understand there are Jewish leaders. Notice over here, incredible insight, they didn't call them by their titles, Rebbe. They said, Yehuda, Yosei, and Shimon. What kind of chutzpah is that? Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda. These were the Gedolei Hadar. Mr. Yehuda. What kind of chutzpah is that? Okay, there's something going on over here where the Goyim had absolutely no respect. No respect for these three Gedolei Hadar, Yehuda, Shila, Yis'ala, Yosef. If this was a Buddhist priest, they wouldn't talk like this. There would be respect. Ozal, so what did he do? Ozal, Hu Ubere. We discussed this yesterday. This is part of Lag BaOmer. He took his son. Today, you would go to jail for doing this. He took his son. Just because I have to go into exile. I don't think my son. Why should he have to suffer with me? He was Moiser Nefesh to teach his son that his son has to come in order to preserve the Messiah. Tashu be midrasha. Now here's a very beautiful word. Tashu. What does the word Tashu mean? It means they hid. Why does another word mean? What does the word Tashu mean? They hid in the Beis Medrash. Now, wait a minute. Isn't that where they were originally? This is supposed to prove the point originally. When this debate took place, this discussion took place about giving praise, it was not in the Beis Medrash. Because here's the first time where they're going to hide out in the Beis Medrash. If you learn the Gemara at face value, they tell this story to you when you're in Yeshiva Katana, they give you the impression that the story took place in the Beis Medrash. Like people, they're schmoozing, right? They're schmoozing amongst themselves in the Beis Medrash. And one of their Tanoim, one guy says something nice. One says something mediocre, and one something nasty. And then someone goes, it's Malshin. And now they hide. So then when the government officials come to get you, they know where to get you. Because they know where the story took place. Here is the first time that the word Beis Medrash is introduced. It seems like they didn't even know where the Beis Medrash was. So where then was this discussion taking place of giving praise or being silent or saying something nasty? It was in City Hall. Okay, that's the difference. It was in a public forum. Originally there was pressure. There was pressure. They were called to some type of a government official. Come, we need you to write a letter of endorsement. And it did not go well, this meeting in City Hall. And whatever took place in City Hall was recorded by this person, Yehuda ben Gerim, and he reported it up the chain, all the way to the Caesar, whoever it was. So now, when they were in trouble, where do you go when you're in trouble? You go to the Beis Medrash. They don't know where the Beis Medrash is. The Beis Medrash wasn't a public place. It's the first time we find them now going to Beis Medrash, which indicates that this debate, how to recognize the government, was not in the Beis Medrash. It was done in a public forum. Tashu be midrasha. Kol yom ha'ave ma'isilu b'dibisu rifta. Every day, his wife brought him rifta bread v'chuz d'maya, a loaf of bread and water. The karche, they would wrap the bread. They would wrap the bread and they would eat the bread. Now, obviously, there's significance. The Gemara telling us this is that his wife was a partner in the crime. His wife, Rashbi's wife. Rashbi's wife came to see her son, her husband and her son. She provided them with bread and water.
He didn't tell her that they were going.
He did tell her, obviously, called Yoima every day, Havi Maisel, Debisu Rifta, Vakuza Demaya, jug of water. Vikarche, and he would wrap the bread. What does that mean? Rashi. Okay, there is no Rashi. It says the karche means he would wrap the bread. What's the significance of that? I don't know. Kitakiv gezerta, when the gezera intensified.
She smuggled it in.
She wrapped it. I don't know. Kitakiv gezerta, when the gezera intensified. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? The gezera intensified. That means the hunt was on. Doesn't say that. It sounds like something else happened. I don't know. There's something more going on here. Amale lebrei. Rashbi said to his son, Noshim daitan kala alehen. Noshim have a week. If they'll torture my wife, your mother, she will with dilma mitzare lo. They will cause her pain. They will torture her. Umegal yolon, and she will reveal our hiding place. So they escaped. Ozlu, they went. Toshu bimarosa. They went to a cave. Do we know where this cave is today? A lot of discussion about this. Supposedly, this cave was a big resort. It was a big tourist attraction for many years until something very bad happened there. It turned into a place of avodah zarah. I read this, and it appears the legend that this cave was well known. It was a very holy place. Who wouldn't want to go there today? Because you had Gil Elio here, all these holy things happened in this cave. It was known where it was. It's near Meron. It was 4 hours from Meron. 4 hours walking. But it seems like the Goyim made it into an Avodah Zarah, and some either natural disaster happened, or the Jews, they sealed it off and they hid its location. Because it was abused. This cave was a holy place, it was a miracle place, and because it became a place of Avodah Zarah by who knows, by the Goyim, the Jews went and they concealed it. They blew it up. Whatever they did with it, they put stones in front of it, they camouflaged it, and today it is not known where it is. Anyone that says things to you on tourist tracks, go to Bay Road, this is the cave of Rashbi. Be very skeptical, because seemingly this cave, it's no longer known where it is. Esrachesh Nisa. Now here is a miracle. Ivrei Luhu, it was created, Charuba, the Eina Demaya, carib, and a spring of water. The A from this carib. All of the commentators discuss how was he allowed to eat from this carib for the first 3 years. It's Orla. Eretz Yisrael. The first 3 years, you're not allowed to eat the fruit of a tree. A carob is orla. How, it's a fruit. How can they eat it? So the answer, the simple answer is, anything that is created al derech neis is not subject to the laws of orla.
Marsha asked better. He says when you plant the chara, it doesn't grow for 70 years.
Right. So there's a neis besoich neis. It takes 70 years. So they say it was a neis besoich neis. The fact that the Chorov existed in a place where Chorov does not grow, and the fact that it already produced food was a neis besoich neis. And what else happened? There was water. Now notice, this is different than when his wife gave him. His wife provided rifta, bread, and the kuza demaya. Now he's being provided with charuva, the Eina Demaya.
By the way, carob is also called St. John's bread.
Right, yeah.
St. John's bread.
The English,
so there's a relationship between bread and carob.
Yeah.
Because the Gemara tells us that his wife gave him rifta and akuza demaya, and the replacement was chorov. And a Eina Demaya. Next. Vahave Meshalchi Minayu. Now this is also one of the reasons the Minhagim, there's so much over here, they took off their clothing. Why did they take off their clothing? Because they realize they're going to be here for a very long time. And they need clothing eventually. And if they go and they live in the cave, the clothing is going to wear out. Question. In the Midbar for 40 years, Simloisam Loi Bolu. Your clothing did not wear out. Over 40 years, they wore this. Anani Akavot. If Hashem could make for Rashbi and Rebbe Lazar a miracle that they have bread, they have choruf and maya, don't you think they should have had faith in Hashem that he can do a much lesser miracle, that their clothing will not wear out until they leave the cave? Yet, no, they were concerned that their clothing will wear out. They took off their clothing. By doing so, they can't learn when they're naked. So they had to go and bury themselves in sand, which put their lives in danger, basically. The sand caused their skin to corrode and to be filled with terrible wounds. Something here doesn't make sense. Why in the world will they take off their clothing and put themselves in sakana if the Rebbe Shalom is giving them carob and water and doing miracles? So it's a no-brainer. Let's just hope for the best. And if our clothing will wear out, no. If our clothing will wear out, we will go and we'll put on new clothing. This is a very, very big mystery I have no answer for. But one thing that the Mefarshim do mention is this is one of the reasons why we burn clothing on Lag BaOmer. I mean, we do. We don't really shouldn't. We're not our minuk. But there are people who have a custom to burn clothing. To burn clothing, kind of, that's what it's called, kind of clothing. They burn garments, to purchase garments, expensive garments, and to burn the garments in the fire on Lag BaOmer. You don't see this, but it's brought down in all of the Svarim, and all the Mefarshim say you should not do so. It's about Tashchis. You're not on a Madrega today to know what this means, what it's about. This is Kabbalistic in Yonim. Don't do it. It's about Tashchis. One thing leads to another. But where does it come from, such a minhag? So all of them cite this. Since the whole day is all about Rashbi, we do things that resemble what Rashbi did. Rashbi, he removed his clothing. Removing the clothing over here is to show that removing the clothing is to take clothing and to basically I don't know why to burn the clothing, but it's an expression of the removal of clothing. They sat until their necks in sand. Every single day they would learn Torah. The Idan Tsaluye, when it came time to daven, lovshu michsai, they put on the clothing of matzlu. Fahode mishalchim inai, they remove their clothing, period. Kihechid lo livlu, so their clothing should not wear out. Isivu tre seshane, they sat there in the cave for 12 years. What's the significance of 12 years? I didn't see a good answer. They say 12 shvatim, very unsatisfying answers. There's no real good in why 12 years. Rabbi Akiva did the same thing. Rabbi Akiva, he made a condition with his wife that I want to go learn in Kol for 12 years. And then what happened? He came back after 12 years and he heard someone harassing his wife. Your husband is an Oisvarf. He abandoned you. He went to learn in Kol for 12 years. What kind of man did you marry? And what did she say? If it was up to me, I would have him go back and learn another 12 years. So all he out of here. He made an about. He didn't even step into the house. He made an about face, and he went back. He went back to Koilel. He went back to Koilel for another 12 years, for a total of 24 years. I told someone. I told you this one. I says, why only another 12 years? Why not another 50 years? So I told someone who had to just celebrate his 25th wedding anniversary. I said to him, you know why his wife only said for another 12 years? Because she said, but he has to come back to celebrate the 25th wedding anniversary. So if he wants to go away more, he can go for another 12 years. That will bring him to a total of 24. So to guarantee he'll be back for the silver wedding anniversary. No, I'm running out of time. Elio came, the Kama Pisch at the bottom of the opening of the cave. Omar, man loide, who's going to make a weird Labar Yoichai? All of a sudden, his name changes. Until now, he was called Shimon. We start off in the Gemara. Look at the three names we have here. The Gemara starts off with Rebbe Shimon. When he was harassed by the government, he was called Shimon. Now he went down another madrega. He doesn't even have a name. His name is Bar Yochai, the son of Yochai. Look at the madregas. You start off in this world, in the top of the world, Rebbe Shimon. I'm a fugitive. What's my name? Shimon. They took away my smicha. Now I disappeared from society for 12 years. No one even remembers that I exist. Forget about my smicha. Forget about my identity. I'm a non-entity. I'm just a child of someone else. Okay? That's the story of life, Rabbi Yisai. That's the story of life, is a disgraceful fall from society. Is your choshev? You lose your chashivos. But you people, they know at least your name. And then they don't even remember who you are. Don't even exist. Who's going to tell Bar Yochai that the government, now here's very important words, the Miss Kesar. The Kesar is dead. Ubatal Gezerta. And the Gezer is over. And you can live. Nothing. Very quickly, I want to tell you one more quick quote. Nothing. They went out. So they left the cave. Now, there for 13 years, they became even bigger Kanoim. Chazu Inshay de Kokarve. They saw people that were plowing the field. Okay, Rashi says karbe means to plow the field. There's one little Rashi over here that they came out. Chorshim, they were plowing. Vizare and seeding. Omar manichim chay ha'olam ba'iskim chay shah. Kol mokoyim shenoistim eineyem miyad nisrof. Wherever they looked, they burnt. In other words, they tried to acclimate themselves into society. But they were kanoim. They were destructive people. Can you imagine that? You live in Koil for 12 years, and you come out of Koil, and wherever you touch, you're it's a churban. Mamash a churban. So yotza baskol v'yamulachem lehachre v'ilami yotzasem. You went into that kind of destroy my world. Chizru l'marachem. Go back into your cave. Hader ozel esivu treisa yarche shasa. Now they sat for 1 year. Notice the poetry. 12 years, 12 months. Amri, and they said, Mishpat Rishoyim B'Gehenim Yud Beis Chodesh. What does Gehenim have to do with anything over here? What is Gehenim? This is Gehenim? You're going back to Kol for another year. It's a bonus. We're giving you a bonus. Isn't it amazing? Over here, the Gemara is telling you an incredible insight that sometimes Kolel is Gehenim. Isn't that amazing?
You don't learn.
When you don't belong in Kolel, it's an amazing Gemara. If you don't belong there, over here, their time has come. Comes a time where, and out. They sit there, if Aaron Cutler had never had a kavana, the debate is, to sit and learn your whole life. Never had such a shita.
3 years
in there. Shita was, you learn here for a tekufa and you're out. You get a job. Do whatever you're going to do. You want to be a klikoidesh gavaldik. You want to be you want to go work in computers. You want to work in be a woodpecker. How many, you want to be a timberman? You only learn here for a very short, and then you get it. Then you to be in Kolel when you're not supposed to be there. The Gemara here says explicitly is Gehenim, and they were there was Gehenim to be back in Kolel for another 12 months. It does not even say here they learned. It says the first 12 years, Garse. It doesn't say now when they went back in the cave for the next 12 months, Garse. Hashem says, go back into your cave. And what happens in the cave? It doesn't say they learned. Hader Ozel, a sivu, they just sat there. Tres Yach, doesn't say they sat there. Doesn't say they learned. A sivu, doesn't say garis. A sivu, tres Yach, ishas. Amri, enough. Mishpat Rishoyim, begehenim, yud beis chodesh. They viewed themselves, Hashem's rebuke, as Rishoyim. What happened? They came out, they learned their lesson, which teaches us that Gehenim, here we're learning directly, Gehenim is a correction facility. It's not a place of punishment. Because when they came out of Gehenna, they had a new attitude. Okay, a new attitude. They had a different attitude. They went out. At one point, we're going to stop. Every place, there's a lot going on over here. We don't have time. I just want to bring one point. I want to jump ahead and just say, one point, we'll do two more tomorrow. The point I want to make is, when they came out, they said, because Hashem has been so good to us, let's give back to society. What could we do for society? Let's give back. So they went and they made tikkunim in Sistigma. There's a whole discussion. Vayovo Yaakov Sholem tikkun a bathhouse. He made Yaakov Avinu. He made the same three things. Then Yosef ben Ilo. We have to go to the words of the Gemara. The Pella, people don't appreciate this part of the Gemara, is what happened? You know what happened to Rashbi? He became just like Yehuda Bar Eloi. Not totally. He became the new and improved Yehuda Bar Eloi. The Gemara is going to go, I have to read this story tomorrow. The Gemara is going to quote, Yaakov Avinu, Vayova Yaakov Sholem. Yaakov, let me do you a toiva. What did he do? He was misakein currency. Shavakim. He was misakein amerchatz. That was the other thing. What else was Yaakov Avinu? Yaakov Avinu, he did the same three things. Vayu Shakim, Sholim, B'gur, M'molah, V'idim, V'chaz, V'der, Matbeya, Shavakim, Merchatzois. He was Masakim, either corn. He was Masakim three things. Either a Matbeya, or he was Masakim the Shavakim, or the Merchatzois. Okay, what did Yehuda Bar Eloi say? He said, Kamen Noem Aseyem Shel the Roman. How beautiful. They made bridges, they made merchatzois, and they made shivakim. Now these three things, I have to show you tomorrow how they correspond to those three things. And the Gemara is saying, oh, if that's what Yaakov Avinu did, we also have to do something good for society. What was the lesson of Rashbi? He started off a kanoi, and the end was, he saw the good. This is an interpretation. Not everyone's going to agree with this interpretation. He was able, after 13 years, to understand Rabbi Yossi of Yehuda Bar Eloi. He didn't come around like him, 100%. He didn't say, Kama Noi Maaseyem. But he appreciated that you have to do something good for society. He criticized everything they do is for themselves. So when he came out, he went and he did things for society, similar, but you can't ignore the fact that the irony is the only reason why he got into this matziv was because he said that in society, there's nothing good about society. It's all selfish. And now when he comes out, he's drawing from Yaakov Avinu, who gave to society, and he's also giving to society. So are we going to say what you're doing, what you're doing is selfish? Maybe it's also selfish. The reason why you're being massacred in all of these is because you're also going to benefit for yourself. Obviously you feel not, that when you're going to be giving to society, it's not just for your selfish needs. It's because you really want to be a giver. So it's true. The goyim, with everything that they do, is for themselves. But you can't deny there's an element of giving. It's also for someone else. Okay, we have to go through the words and show you this to be correct tomorrow. But the irony is, he started off because of a fundamental difference with Rabbi Yehuda. At the end of the story, he came around to refine and to recalibrate his disagreement with Rabbi Yehuda. And that is critical for us, because we in Golis go through the same process. We start out with the Goyim, we want to kill them, and because we know that they're all out to get us. But at the end, we have to be very, very careful, recalibrate, and we understand how we relate to the Goyim in Golis. The dangers of living with Goyim and how to properly relate. Oh, tomorrow we shall continue.
That's we have to look in the center so you know which list is there. It's good, very good.
We need the foie.
The difference between Rome and America. The American never destroyed the base of Migdash.
Correct. King and Pierre, exactly.
Yeah.
King of Pierre, 100%.
If they would have been Gerim.
100%. Every door, every kufa is different.
If Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim was not deporting the government, but not Muslim, we have Zoha, we have Lakbaume, we have Rashba in this high position.
I don't know the answer. There are many elements like Lakbaume. I don't know the answer.
Because he reported, he escaped, went in the cave, and they started to lay.